Through it all, my eyes are on you. Beautiful word. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you arrived. Let's talk about how you can leave. We're already talking about exiting, and we haven't even got to the message, but it's okay. Just give you a heads up. You can leave encouraged. You can leave strengthened, fulfilled. You can even leave with a mandate from God and saying, I can do something different today. I'm going to do something. All that happens in the context of this moment in time. You never know, and I'm going to give you a heads up. At the end of the service, you may have walked in here with one condition and you could leave with another. And what condition may that be? You may have walked in here being very far from God. And so you just came as a guest from somebody and you just said, I'll go with you just to shut you up. You may be here on several occasions and you're still trying to discover the truth of Christianity and you still don't know if it's right. This could be, can be, the most incredible day of your life when you walk away from here today with Jesus in your life. So I'm just giving you a heads up that at the end of the service, you'll have an opportunity to know who Jesus is, why he's so important, why the truth, what the Bible says, something that every man, woman, and child needs to embrace. What a day. I hope you got a text message from me, like a couple of them this past week. We're making some preparations, our heart preparations, with our seasons of gathering coming together, our seasons of refreshing gatherings with Dr. Mel Blackaby coming in a month from today, 1 month from today. Dr. Blackaby will be our guest speaker. If you weren't here with us last week, and I'll be sending out text messages, I'm sending out two or three, just prayer prompts and maybe some encouraging scriptures. And if you'd like to receive those, there's directions in your bulletin. You text 797979 to the word refresh. It'll come right into your text message. It'll just be a moment in your day when something lands in a text message and you just be able to stop, pause, pray, consider, and then even ask a question. God, based upon this, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? Consider and check that out. I did get a little pushback. I was told earlier in the week that 7 a.m. was too early to receive a text message, and so I sent the first one out. Went out at 7 a.m. I'm thinking, wow, I'd been up for 2 hours and had a pot of coffee. I don't know what you guys are doing, but man, daylight was burning somewhere. So anyway, we'll work on that. I think I'll go to 7:15. Give you a little break. You get extra 15 minutes of sleep. Let me tell you, it could have been 6 a.m. That was my first thought. I was like, everybody's up at 6. I'm sorry. We'll get there. We'll get there. God's doing something special. And you know where special starts? Something special happens collectively, it's because God is doing something special independently in yours and my life. I just want to capture that, and I just want to know what that is, and I just want to be in tune with all that God has in store for us. And I want us to do that together. See, we have an amazing church with an amazing God and an amazing opportunity, and I don't want to miss a thing. You ever get to the point in your life to where you think about it, and maybe you're not there yet. I remember when I rolled into this part of life, when I realized that I had less time before me than I had put behind me. And when you realize that, you think, wow, and so if I've got less time in front of me than I've already lived, then I sure want them to make every moment going forward, I sure want them to count. That's what we do, and that's why we come together for a season of refreshing gathering. Special moments. I hope you're ready. Save the date, March 5th and 6th. We're going to give you a devotional book next weekend. I don't know if that's in your habit or not. I hope that may be something over 21 days that could become a habit for you. I promise you each one will take you 5 to 6 minutes or less. And we're going to have those available for you as you exit next weekend. I believe it'll be a very helpful tool for us to take the 21 days leading up to March 5th. We go together reading the same passage and considering the same prayer thoughts and prayer prompts. It'll be a good time for us. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mrs. Chaw. Mrs. Chaw became like a South Korean celebrity. How do you do that? How do you become a celebrity in South Korea? I don't know. I don't know any South Korean celebrities, but I know about Mrs. Chaw. Mrs. Chaw became a celebrity in South Korea simply because she tried something and she failed, and she tried it again, and she just persevered through a process. Now, here's Mrs. Chaw's story. 69-year-old grandmother, never knew how to drive. So she decided, it's time for me to drive. And so she goes down to whatever you call it in the South Korea, we'll call it the South Korean DMV, and she takes the driver's exam and she fails. But she's not to be deterred. She does it again. And she fails. And we all know the phrase now, third time's a charm. Well, that's not for Mrs. Chaw because she failed on the third time. So Mrs. Chaw showed her just very persevering and just said, you're going to pass this driver's exam. And what happened, though, is she began to take the test 5 times a week. So that lets you know she was failing every time, right? So she took the test, failed, took the test, failed, took the test, failed. She was doing that every week, 5 days a week, taking the exam and failing. Now, she started this process in April of 2005. Now, we fast forward 3 years, and on the 959th try, 959, she failed. And then at 960, she passed. She passed on the 960th try. Here's Mrs. Chaw's picture with the passing. Yeah, I would get that. Actually, that was a story that ran in the New York Times a while back, talking about Mrs. Chaw. What a persevering spirit. Just not giving up. You know, that persevering is just that aspect. What is it? It's that determination to keep going forward regardless of the outcome or any success or lack of success. You're just going to keep going. And the problem with determination, the problem with perseverance is that there's always an option when I go to persevere. And my option is this: quit. Just give up. Why would you do that? Why would not Mrs. Chaw, why didn't she stop at 100? Why didn't she keep failing and just hit the milestone of 1,000? That would have been kind of fun, wouldn't it? No, she wouldn't have done that. But that's the option. That's the problem with perseverance. But we have an option. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to give it up. But we find here that even Scripture reminds us that there's a value, I would say a reward for the persevering spirit. There's something that good and that is blessed when God sees within an individual a persevering spirit. And here, let's put it even into a more narrow context. And the narrow context is this: the persevering spirit in the midst of adversity or in the midst of trouble. That was kind of a theme that was running through our worship this morning. Horatio Spafford through All Is Well. You know, It Is Well With My Soul. That was his song after losing his family in the ocean waters with the sinking of a ship. Based on Scripture, all these things, that, you know, it's just like in the midst of this, there's though God says, in the midst of our adverse situation, in the midst of crisis, in the midst of things that just kind of blow up in my life and I don't know where to turn and I don't know why this is going on, whether it's the choices I've made or just because this is the nature of life. And I lose a job, I can't make the payment, there's a death in the family, there's relationships that are broken, there's things that are just going so haywire in my life. And sometimes we hit all of those areas. You know, I talk to people all the time. You know, the biggest stressors in life, and I can identify in people's life, the biggest stressors in life, like making a move, having a death in the family, changing jobs, buying a new home, all these things. And I encounter some people, maybe you've been one of them, that have had all of those happen to them in like a week. And we think, wow, how much can a body take? And so we come to a passage like what Paul says in Romans 5, and it's like a through it all, and in the midst of something that is adverse or causing us much stress or crisis moments, listen to how Paul brings this out and about a persevering spirit, because there's a reward at the end, and he says, and we glory. We don't want to say that. That's the most challenging thing. We glory, we praise, we celebrate in our sufferings, our adversity, our crisis moments, and our trials. Why? Here's why. Because. Isn't it interesting he puts in there that we know? It's almost like Paul's saying, this is something we know. Maybe we know cognitively, maybe we haven't landed in our heart, but we know here, this is it. Suffering produces perseverance.
And perseverance is forging character, and character brings about hope. What an amazing word for us. It's just a reminder in the midst of difficult situations that Jesus has the maximum opportunity to do something significant in one's life. I think some of you are on the verge of letting adversity get the better of you today. I think it just comes with human nature. You know what I mean? On the verge, you're kind of right on the edge, and it wouldn't take but just a very soft little hiccup in your life, and it just kind of push you over. I think we get there sometimes. We're just, I'm just on the edge. Here, what do you say, parents, moms? You say to your kids, you're on my last nerve. You know, it's like, if you say that one more time, you know, it's not going to be good for you, and I'm out of here, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We just get stressed out. It piles on. And here we find ourselves in the midst of all this and adversity. What do you do with that? How do you persevere through that? How do you persevere instead of run? How do you get to the point of where James, the brother of Jesus, says, and you know what, I'm finding it amazing that James launches right into this, the second verse of the book of James, and he says this, consider it joy. It's almost like he and Paul are very much on the same page. Whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, what does it do? It produces endurance. That's like perseverance. And endurance must do its complete work so that, here's another reward, so that you may mature and be complete, lacking in nothing. So this is really a situation in which we find Israel as we're still making our way through the book of Joshua. There's this aspect of adversity, and there's this aspect of perseverance and kind of doing it again because they failed. And it's something they failed quickly going into the promised land, all the promises, all the good things that God, they had said they're going to do. And so here's where we find Israel. Achan, as we talked about last week, has sinned. He took the treasures from Jericho that he was told not to take. The Lord said all the treasures of Jericho are supposed to go into the Lord's treasury. You don't take anything for yourself. Achan took those things. And so now we have the devastating outcome of Achan and his family now being utterly destroyed. And we have a situation here. You can imagine that Israel is now kind of in shell shock. They're just like, oh my, what has happened here? They witnessed all this with Achan. They have now experienced all that he's talking, you know, everything that God has, all the punishment he brought. And all of a sudden, there is this adverse situation in which is going on here in the midst of our story. And there is also a persevering spirit that comes along with it. So we find that Joshua, the children of Israel, they're sincere. They have There's been a disobeying of God's commands. There's been this, Achan that's done this disobedient thing as well. And in the midst of all this, here's what Israel discovers, that God is still with them. God says, I'm not forsaking you. I'm still with you. But we got to keep going. We got to persevere, and we're going to move forward. Since January the 8th, we've been working our way through the book of Joshua. It's appropriately, we're calling it the book of new beginnings. There's a new leader. There's a new land. Actually, we could say it's a new people, even though this is because the generation going into the promised land is different than the generation that left Egypt. And so there's a new people. There's a new opportunity, a new hope, a new promise. There's all these new things. It's a new beginning for the children of Israel. And what we learned early on is that new beginnings require some things, even for our lives, just as they did for Joshua and the Israelites. It requires trust in God as God began to pour into Joshua what he wanted him to do. He had to trust him. It requires courage as we looked at the life of Rahab. And we actually talked about how Rahab walked away. She had the courage to leave a past and embrace a new God and a new faith. We talked about how new beginnings require you to be a distinct or a holy people. We talked last week about new beginnings requires confronting sin. And that's exactly what Joshua and the Lord did with Israel and Achan. And today we're talking about new beginnings require persevering through adversity. It's going to come to all of our lives, an adverse situation, crisis moment. And here we are finding this has landed in the children of Israel. Early on in their embracing and in their taking the promised land, all of a sudden they hit this adverse situation. So here it is in persevering through the midst of adversity, and we find ourselves in the book of Joshua chapter 8. And so they've dealt with Achan, they've dealt with his sin, they've taken care of that, and now the Lord comes back and says, but you still have this problem because the city of Ai is still out there. You haven't yet to conquer that, and I'm sending you back to Ai, and I'm sending you with the battle plan, and you're going to take it. Now here, I'm going to give you just a brief synopsis of chapter 8. We're not going to spend all of our time in the whole chapter, but just a few verses at the beginning. But what happens is the battle plan is this. The Lord says to Joshua, he says, I want you to go ahead and I want you to separate the Israel soldiers into two groups. And actually, I want all the fighting men of Israel to engage in this battle, not just the 3,000 that you did before. Everybody goes. And he said, I want the one group to attack Ai from the front. And what's going to happen is that all the soldiers out of Ai, they're going to make their way out of the city. They will engage you on the battlefield. And I want you to engage them briefly, and then I want you to run. I want you to retreat. They will pursue you. They will think they've got another victory. They're going to think in their minds that you guys are a bunch of wimps and you can't handle it, and we've taken you down twice. Don't come back around here no more, right? He said, I want you to take the second group, and I want you to position them behind the city. And as the soldiers and all the men, actually every fighting man in Ai, left the city, pursued Israel. And as they were pursuing Israel, thinking that all was grand and they had a second victory, they look behind them and what do they see? But Israel has attacked the city from behind and it is burned with fire. And it is completely obliterated. And on that day, Ai falls, Israel's victorious. And they begin to make their way continually through the promised land. It's the two verses right before the battle that I want us to spend our time this morning. Just two verses. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is before. This is the God. This is God kind of redirecting. This is God saying, it's time to go again. This is God that's saying, you need to, we're gonna do this again. It's time to persevere. This has been a really bad week. This has been a bad situation. It's time to move forward. I hope for you today that you'll be able to discover as well, in the midst of your bad week, your bad month, maybe you're still lingering from some mess from 2016 that's just kind of made its way into your 2017. I just want to say that hopefully today the few things that we can lift up out of these verses are a reminder to us that we go forward, we persevere, and this is how it's done with God's help. Joshua chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Let's read this text together. And so the Lord said to Joshua, haven't we heard this before, guys? Do not be afraid or discouraged. That comes from chapter 1, immediately when Joshua was taking over the leadership role. Take the whole military force with you and go attack Ai. Look, I have handed over to you the king of Ai, his people, city, and land. Treat Ai and its king as you did Jericho and its king. You may plunder its spoil and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. So what do we find here? Here's our phrase, and here's the question. How do you persevere through adversity? How do you kind of motor through without just saying, I'm just kind of with all grit and just all the determination I have, I'm going to have to make this season of life. But how do we do that? In light of what we've read, in light of who God is in your life, in light of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that resides within you, how do you do that? Well, here is revealed for us very clearly, and I hope this becomes that which carries you through this season today. And the first thing we find here in these first verses is that we persevere through adversity by receiving God's word of encouragement. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Now, that's a word of encouragement. Now, all of a sudden you say, well, that sounds more like a command, but here's why that's such a refreshing word from the Lord to Joshua and why it should be refreshing for you as well. This is what has happened. So here, Joshua, he's saying here, do not be afraid or discouraged. And he's repeating the very thing that he had to settle Joshua's heart down as he was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua 1, who has not been comforted by those words, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, I will be with you always. And he's just saying it continually there in the first chapter of Joshua. Here he's saying it again. But here's what we need to understand. What has just happened because of Achan's sin and everything that's just transpired. He's repeating this in such a way, because, and it was necessary because of what Joshua and Israel had refused to do or what they didn't do going forward. So they hadn't actually met with God and found any divine guidance on how to go forward with Ai. Here was the plan. You don't find anywhere. You find in other places where he sought the Lord on what to do, but here he didn't. He just found the spies came back and gave a report, and he says, easy, we're going to take it down. They said, it's a small city, it's a small army, send a small group. It was an aspect of overconfidence there. We can do this. Look what happened at Jericho. We can wipe these guys out. It's going to be a snap. We'll be enjoying life here in about 2 hours. But here's what we find. Here was the condition of Israel upon the defeat at Ai. Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. Listen here. So they struck down Ai, 36 of them, and chased them from outside the gate to the quarry. So this is Ai going after Israel. And here, look at the last sentence. As a result of this, the people's hearts melted and became like water. This is the condition of Joshua and the children of Israel. Their hearts had melted and become like water. It's similar to Rahab telling the spies back in chapter 2 that she saw the spies, she identified, she said, your God is Jehovah God, and we know that he is the God, and that we know all that he's done for you. We know he parted the Red Sea. We know all these things he's done for you. Here are some of the words that Rahab used to the spies. And she says, and when we heard about what God did for you, there's panic everywhere. Everyone has lost heart, and everyone's courage had failed. It's a similar thing. The fear that was in the promised land in Jericho is the same kind of fear that Israel, and the same kind of discouragement that they have right now. So it's a reminder then for us that these encouraging words from the Lord are this refreshment to Joshua, because he knows the condition of his people. He knows the condition of his own heart. His heart has melted away. His heart is like water. He has no confidence. He feels like a great failure. He feels like everything is imploded. He's given this responsibility and everything's now falling apart. And God says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. I would say that you need those words as well. I need those words. There's seasons in life that we just need to hear someone walk into our lives and say, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Don't we cherish the encouragement that comes from people? I cherish the encouragement in the midst of any area of life, whether it's a card or an email or a text or a telephone call or just someone walking up to you, putting their arm around you, and they look at you and say, how you doing? Or I've been praying for you. Those are the encouraging words that we long to hear. That is the desire of our hearts. We want encouragement. Here, I like encouragement so much, I created a file folder. You know what I wrote on it? Encouragement. It's called encouragement. You know what's in there? I print off emails and I kept cards and letters from people for all these years, for the last 20-something years. Just drop in there. You know what? Every now and then, I'll just go back and revisit it. I'll pull out and I'll smile, I'll reminisce about someone saying thanks for this, or you did this, or whatever. It was the encouraging thing at the moment regarding something that God allowed me to be a part of. And I just say, though, why? Because we want encouragement. I see encouragement. You know, encouragement's like kind of like having an umbrella when it starts to rain. Isn't that encouraging? Yeah, you wait till it starts raining, you don't have an umbrella, and you're going to be frustrated. Go buy an umbrella today if you don't have one. You know, encouragement is like having jumper cables when you got a dead battery. We had a dead battery not too long ago. You know what I had? I had a guy that could jump me off, but I had no jumper cables. You know, that's not going to help, is it? Finally, he found jumper cables. But you can have someone to jump you off, but if you don't have anyone to make the connection, just kind of look at each other and you go, man, sorry, can't help you. We always want something encouragement. You know what I love? I love the encouraging words of Jesus out of Matthew chapter 11. I promise you, these words, if you're not familiar with them, they're going to bless you in just a moment. And you are, though, most of you probably are familiar with them. And some of you are going to say, I needed that today. This is what Jesus said. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, exhausted, overwhelmed, frustrated, discouraged, and you've got the weight of the world on you, and you're being beat up by life, and you don't know what else to do, and you're throwing your hands up, and you don't know if persevering is within you, and you want to quit. And I'll give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Some of you, that was worth coming today. Just because you didn't know that was there, you forgot about it, or you didn't know you needed it. Did you pick up on the commands? There's three commands in that short verse. Come. Isn't that an incredible invitation? He doesn't say come to anything else, but he says come to me. He says come to Jesus. You're burdened, you're exhausted, you're dealing with adversity, you're dealing with crisis. You know what? You understand what he's saying here. He says, I'm not, when you come to me, he says, I'm not asking you to come to me so that I can condemn you, chastise you for not having faith, for being fearful, for being overwhelmed, and not letting me do this before. He said, just come to me, and I'll give you rest. That's an invitation. What a great command. Just come to me, I'll give you rest. He says, take what? Here's the second command. Take upon you this yoke. We understand that to be, that's like that wooden collar that goes across oxen, where the oxen then can pull and do work together in tandem. They do together, and that's what he's saying. Yoke with me. Put this on you, and we partner. Here, this is the true partnership of Christ. What an encouragement that is. That's an encouraging word, that there's this open invitation, and he says, and yep, and as you accept it, I'm going to partner with you, and we go through this thing together. And then he says, that along the way, you're going to learn from me. That's another command. As we yoke with him, we discover how to trust him. We discover the peace that comes with yoking with him. We understand, God, I'm learning some lessons from you, and I'm learning how to handle the next crisis in my life as well, and you're teaching me through this. And so this is the learning. So this is the persevering. We persevere through adversity by receiving God's word of encouragement, and it's all through Scripture, but I've just kind of lifted up some that are just very special, and I hope that it carries you through. There's a second thing we find here in the book of Joshua they don't need to miss, and it's not just about receiving God's word of encouragement, but it's about repeating God's word of instruction. We need to repeat God's word of instruction. And so this is it. The Lord gives Joshua instruction on how to go to Ai. And to repeat God's word of instruction, really, it means to do what the Lord says. So the Lord says to Joshua then, in the rest of this verse, I want you to take the whole military force with you and attack Ai. Look, I've handed them over to you. I've handed over to you the king, the people, the city, the land. Treat Ai as you did the king of Jericho. Plunder, spoil the spoils and its livestock for yourself and set an ambush behind the city. Achan got a little ahead of himself. If Achan could have just held off on Jericho, Achan could have had so much more at Ai, including his life. Repeat the words of instruction. So Israel initially went into Ai overconfident, with no evidence of prayer, with an unknown disobedience within the group itself. And so that's how they went forward the first time. Now they're going forward the second time, obeying the Lord's instruction and doing what he said. God, I'm going to do what you say. God, I'm going to fulfill what you've asked me to do. God, I'm all about you. Say, these are your commands, and I'm going to do that. What we need to ask of ourselves is that, can that be said of you today? Can it be said of you that you had the habit of seeking the Lord's instruction and doing what he says in your life? Do you seek his instruction? Or do you have the habit of just seeking his instruction when life falls apart? I'm all for seeking God when life falls apart. But what about just maintaining that relationship and seeking him when things are going okay? What about maintaining the relationship? I have heard it said this way, we'll have an easier time trusting God in the darkness if we have walked with him in the light. We can trust him more in the darkness if I've been with him during the seasons of goodness. So Jesus was on this. Jesus asked the question one day. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not follow my instruction? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and refuse to hear, listen to the commands, and even pay attention to what the Word of God says. I love how Eugene Peterson said this in translating that verse. Why are you so polite with me, always saying, yes, sir, that's right, sir, but never doing anything I tell you? If Jesus is Lord and Master, and we refuse to listen to Him and do our own things, then we have an issue there. But if we're going to say, I'm a disciple and I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to do all I can to follow what God says. In his book, The Man God Uses, Henry Blackaby, who's the father of Mel Blackaby, who will be with us in a month, he wrote of a story. He said he wrote writes a story about his father in World War I, who was given the command. He was to take his unit to another destination, but the problem was they had to cross a minefield to get there. Now, here was the instruction on the minefield. He says, we are sending you a mine expert to kind of help you navigate the mines so you make it across safely. And so the mine expert arrives. He gathers all the soldiers together, and he begins to give them this instruction. He says this, I'll take you across in one condition. Whenever I tell you to do something, do it without question. It will mean your life and mine if you don't. Church, I promise you, I believe that walking through life today is like navigating through a minefield. I think when we leave here, it's just the opportunity for things just to kind of blow up in our lives. And we have to navigate through dangerous situations. And if we choose to do that without Christ and without a relationship with God, I think we can anticipate some disastrous and destructive situations to come into our lives. If you're in adversity, you need His instruction to navigate through life. If you're not in adversity, you may be tomorrow. You need His instruction to navigate through life. Regardless of what spectrum you are, where you're on top of the world or you're in an ash heap at the very bottom of the valley, it just doesn't matter. The Lord's instruction is there for us, and we need His instruction. How do you persevere through adversity? Well, you receive God's word of encouragement. Be encouraged, and the word of God is an encouraging word. You repeat God's word of instruction. You just go back and say, God, I want to be obedient to you and do what you say. And then there's the last thing. Remember God's word of promise. Just a very simple word of promise here in this verse. Remember God's word of promise, and this is what the Lord says in the end of verse 1. I have handed over to you the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. That last part of verse 1. I've handed over to you. That's the promise of God. He's saying there, I've done that. We've talked about promises before. Unfortunately, we take the promises and the broken promises that we have with one another, and we think that's how God operates with us. But God's a promise keeper and a promise fulfiller. And we can claim those promises that we find in Scripture, and that helps us make it through adverse situations. This is part of persevering, and it happens with God's promises. Let me give you a couple of promises from Scripture that you will be very well aware of and maybe even are holding on to today because of something going on in your life. How about Philippians 4:13? This is an incredible word. I'm able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do everything. I can do this. It means that God has given me the wisdom. He's given me power. He's given me understanding. He's given me all that I need to go forward in life. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do this. You see, when I say I can do this, I do this in God's power and God's strength and not my own. Here's another one. How about this one? How many of you have rested your head on this soft pillow of encouragement and comfort as you've gone forward in your season of adversity? Romans 8:28. We know all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all things that happen in our lives are good. It says that God takes all the adversity and the crisis of life and He brings it together. And He said, that's what I'm going to make something good about. It's like God taking all these separate ingredients of life and He says, I'm going to take all this and these situations of life and bring it together. You know what? I've never sat down and ate a tablespoon of baking soda. Have you? I hope not. I've just never consumed like raw flour. There have been times I've consumed raw eggs. I don't suggest it. You just don't sit down and eat a teaspoon of salt. I don't sit down and you don't do all this, but here's what I do. Here's what you do. I can put all that together, and you know what? And it makes a good thing. And when I throw into some chocolate chips, it's really good, and some brown sugar. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like our Lord is saying here, I can take all things. I'll take every area of life and even the situation you're going through, and I'm going to start bringing some stuff together into it, and we're going to make something good out of this. So independently, think this is a mess, and this is really hard. Yeah. But God says, let's walk through this together, and it's going to be okay. And I'm going to make something good out of it. What a promise. There's two incredible promises for adversity. Two incredible promises that I hope let you say and let you go home in a moment and wake up in the morning and say, I can do another day based on this. I can do another day because I know this is something God's working through my life, and you call upon them and claim these very promises of Him. So I read a book about 2 or 3 years ago by Max Lucado. The title captured me. I didn't know what it was about, but I just thought, wow, this is something I'd like to read. Simply called, You'll Get Through This. You ever have one of those moments where you needed to read a book that just said, You'll Get Through This? When I began reading the book, I discovered it was about the life of Joseph. So you can imagine Joseph's life. Hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, taken and sold to Pharaoh, thrown in jail, thrown in prison, all this kind of stuff. Quite a life. So in the opening chapter, Lucado just begins to reflect on some people that he had ministered to over the years in their crisis moments. And he said what emerged out of that was a phrase, or was a statement that he would continually repeat to them. So here was the statement that he, kind of a standard statement that he started using with people that were going through adversity and going through crisis. And I want to share it with you because I think it'll help you as it helped me. Here's what he said. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive. But don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. Those words landed in my heart one day, and it was the propelling thing that moved me along in a difficult season. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. And that's not what you might want to hear, but here, we hadn't finished the statement, have we? In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive. I've seen people make so many bad and stupid decisions in the midst of adversity. Don't be foolish and don't be naive. Don't make a situation that's already wearing you down. Don't make it worse by doing something wrong. Don't despair. With God's help, you'll get through this. You'll get through this when you receive His words of encouragement. It all ties back to Scripture. When you repeat His word of instruction, you just let's begin being obedient people and doing what He says, and when you remember His word of promise. He's with us. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And we know He's working good for those who love Him and called according to His purpose. If one of you has been helped today, then that's good. But all of you need to know that this may be a season that's coming into your life. You never know. Sometimes it just hits you blindsided and you just didn't know where else coming from. And we persevere with God's help. You'll get through this. Through it all, my eyes are on You. And I can say, it is well. Pray with me, please.